Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Has your mom always been geographically challenged like
this?
Yes.
She once tried to drive to see my sister at Towson University, and she made it to the New Jersey Turnpike.
Well, she's just turned 70. She's not all that old. She's really not. I mean, there are a lot of people that are functioning.
I think it
was
the
Let me give
heat.
You a little man by the name of Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you worry about cognition and that type of thing.
Shannon saw running on the street yesterday.
Yeah,
jogging.
He was looking for his car.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, with all the talk in America during this election cycle about cognitive issues between the president and Joe Biden, and having two of the oldest men to ever compete on the presidential stage, I've been thinking, it's made me think about age more. It's made me think about my own run and when I would get to a point where it would be. I watched. I don't know how.
Do you feel?
This.
I mean, I know I'm closing in on 50. You're 60 plus. Do you feel that the world is just getting older? World seems older than it did when we were little.
I felt that for a long time, and I think.
Okay. What do you mean by older?
I mean, just people are
general,
older.
Oh no. You go. Well, look where I live. I mean, I live in Maine and Florida. I am the classic, even though I go back earlier and I'm a resident of Florida, my kid goes
to school. Your surroundings, I think, dictate that. Yeah.
It's kind of, I went up to visit my daughter in Brooklyn a couple of years back and went out on a Friday night and felt like a vampire. Yeah. Like I was literally sucking in the energy of youth. And it was so special to me. And I look at young people now. That aren't family members. I'll be driving along and I'll see. Saw a young lady that was with her husband or boyfriend, and they had just gone clam digging. She's hauling these big buckets into the back of the truck, and I'm just going, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, I felt like a vampire.
Yeah,
like,
living life.
Look at her youth. Yeah. She'll be doing that for a long time. That will be.
I think about it a lot, and then when I'm just doing some surfing, I come across this old hee-haw reunion on the internet, and it's Roy Clark. And Roy Clark is sitting there and has this look on his face like this.
He's
the
not
look
there?
That kinda, that's just not quite there. And I think about that. I think about that all the time. I bring this up because Oscar this week came in and was talking about his mom, who's really not all that old, not that far away from my age. No. Your mom is in her 70s, right? 70 or 71?
She just turned 70. Yeah, she just turned 70.
What is the word 70 in Spanish?
70.
Okay.
50, 60.
60, yeah.
60 is 60, right?
And 60.
60 is 60, and
70.
70.
Yes.
I never got up that far.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's Spanish 3 stuff.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So you were talking about your mom getting lost.
Yeah.
And when you speak about your mom, because you're younger, you know, I hang with people your mom's age when I'm down in Florida on a regular basis. I hang with them. Where are you going?
I'm just unplugging these headphones because I hear a slapback on me.
A slapback.
Yes.
Nice.
You talk about your mom. I forget sometimes that your mom is closer to my age than you are. And you talked about her getting lost.
She calls you a Senor Mike.
Senor Mike.
Mr. Mike.
So she got, was she, does she drive?
Yeah, she still drives.
She drives.
She's spry. So she, my mom is so sweet, but so stuck in her ways. And I think if you get older, you're like, I'll just do it my way. Excuse me. You want to leave that out later on.
That's fine.
She had, my brother was the anesthesiologist, bought her a brand new Lexus. I would say Lexus about 7 years ago now.
Is that the one where she thought there was a lady in the dashboard?
Yeah, where she said, Bluetooth, por favor, on. What she didn't realize is on her phone.
If you please.
Connect to me. So I fixed that one day. She won't use her GPS, so she still has her Garmin from 12, 15 years ago, whatever.
Why won't she use the GPS?
Because she doesn't want to learn it, and she knows how to use a little big box Garmin that looks like a toaster. So it's
right. I get that.
Yeah, so
now, see, fine. I get that. I understand that.
So the Garmin is something that I think has saved her for the last, I want to say, decade around town.
It's not like a Garmin thing with like a suction cup on it that sits on the dashboard.
No, she has it as her passenger. She doesn't even know how to suction it up there. She just
sits on the seat.
She takes it out of her big old lady bag and plops it right on her seat, types in on the big keypad, and then it gets moving.
At least she doesn't have like the box of map CDs in her trunk.
Correct.
That's the old
the
technology.
The old way.
Can I interject with a question about apps? Because I use my phone usually. I don't.
I think most modern, tech savvy humans do. Their phone is a GPS.
And my big behemoth has a nav in it, but I have a thing in the car called CarPlay.
Yeah.
Where you kind of hook it up to your phone.
That's a great system.
What is the deal with MapQuest, or I should say Google Maps? Does anybody have the problem, or is it my phone, where sometimes it talks to ye and sometimes it doesn't talk to ye? It gets frustrating.
You can turn it
gets very, very frustrating.
I always turn it off. I can't stand when it talks to me.
I prefer, when I put my map in, if I'm alone, especially if I'm alone, I prefer to have it squawking at me. I like it telling me that in 1 mile I need to take a right. I don't want to have to keep looking, because that makes me a distracted driver. Thank you very much.
But if you're listening to music, and if you're alone, you probably are. Yeah, don't you hate when, someone is singing a song and then all of a sudden the lady talks to you? I hate that.
Make a left.
I hate it when I'm listening to news, which is what I listen to in the car quite a bit, or I am having a conversation. That's the worst. When you might be having your phone coming through.
Oh, that's horrible.
And it's just like, so what we're going to do, we need you to get there.
In the next mile, take a right-hand turn.
And I've always found that the lady.
Who's with you?
The lady inside the machine. She wants to talk. Here's some advice to people. If you're going over the George Washington Bridge, right about that time when everything's merging up in New York City, might not be a good idea to have a phone call coming through your car. Probably a bad idea because you're going to get a lot of conflicting voices. But anyway, I digress. Back to your mom. Okay. I'm sorry.
So for the 70 plus years she's been on this earth, she's never called us with an SOS that she's lost and doesn't know where she's going and doesn't know where her car is. So I might have been producing and engineering the Richard Haas interview when I get the call from my mom.
We'll have a clip from All the Best, which is a Podcast Village production from the George and Barbara Bush Foundation that is really interesting. We're just going to play a small clip today. Richard Haas is a wonderful
episode
guy.
Is out
Oscar
now.
Works on that.
Feel free to, and the whole team of Podcast Village here does, feel free to subscribe to All the Best on any of your Apple.
Got some neat audio coming up on the show.
Or podcast
but to be
Spotify,
fair, when you're engineering an interview with the grandson of a former president, and also one of the leading diplomatic minds in the world, you've already got something on your mind.
Yeah.
You're sort of focused.
I usually snooze my mom till the next day. Like, if I'm working, I'm not answering the phone. So
what happened?
So I look at the phone. It's first a regular phone call. I'm like, she just disrespects me. Like, I got nothing else going on. But I'm still talking. I'm looking at the screen. I'm off camera. I'm monitoring the levels. I'm moving on. I'm taking notes from the interview. And then I get a FaceTime from her. I said, disrespect. How dare she call me twice in a row? She knows if I don't answer.
And that's escalating. That is almost like military escalation. If you go from a phone call to a FaceTime.
But at this point, I'm like, she's 70. She's butt dialing me. She's in that big purse and something's hitting that button and it's moving along.
Then
I get a text. And for this woman to text, it's SOS time, which says, Estoy perdido, which is I'm lost. and at that point.
How do you spell? Is that P-E-R-D-I-D-O?
Yes. Perdido. and then it stops there. And then next one comes in and says, Ayuda, which means help. And I'm like, oh, God, lady, you're killing me. So I do what every great son does. I think of the person that's less busy than I am, one tier down, that knows my mom, can deal with her broken English somewhat. And that is my wife. So I literally look at my phone, While I'm looking at the screen, listening with my headphones on, I dial Shannon on speaker because no one's going to hear that and say,
right.
Please call my mom. She's lost. I think. Don't
Nothing
know.
Nothing Shannon likes better than getting that call from you.
Yeah. So sure. Then I hang up and get back to business. Go back to, I would say, an hour's done. I walk down from the fourth floor to the second floor. I see Shannon and said, what's the story? And she's like, I'm leaving. Your mom's definitely lost. And I'm like,
all right, hold on. I got to stop you right here.
Yeah.
All right. Would it be safe to say, and I'm going to let you go right on with this. Would it be safe to say, I know your mom and dad sacrificed for you kids, brought you to this country from Bolivia. It's a great story. Mm-hmm. They did wonderful. They've got a kids that they raised all their children with wonderful work ethics. And they've done very well. Would it be safe to say you're aware of that, you children, and you maybe have pampered this woman just a little bit?
I agree.
These are all facts.
She's only 70.
Is not as old as it used to be.
Yeah, but this is the problem. I've been making jokes about setting her up in Leisure World for the last 20 years.
Right.
So for her, and for those of you not in the know around the country, Leisure World is a world-renowned facility.
That has a fountain. Assisted living.
Assisted living.
One of the original assisted living. Yeah.
Maybe the first.
Back when they weren't on every corner.
And it's,
no, I remember you drive by. There's a fountain out front. It looks fantastic.
1.1 miles away from our home in Olney.
Horrible name.
And I know this because I one time MapQuest it. I said, Mom, we could visit you all the time. You're 1.1 miles away.
You barely have to move.
Yeah, you're not really moving. You still got the same zip code and everything.
Exactly.
So my mom, for years now, for the last, let's say, 4 to 5 years, she said, I'm never selling this house. You'll have to bury me in it. Because
that's selfish. That's not nice. That's
but
not
Mike,
nice to
all
the kids.
I do is break balls about, hey, it's time for you to go. Or this.
Okay. All right, that's funny.
Was that in response to you saying that to her? Or did she just declare?
I don't want her to sell the house. She can live there as long as she wants. But I like going there and seeing that stack of junk mail and going through and then reading off the Leisure World pamphlet to her aloud. just to get a rise out of her.
20 to 25 years in that house.
Yeah, yeah. So I get try to get a rise out of her by reading it aloud and say, look, they just opened up a new pool. This is pre-pandemic. and then she says, so she gets all mad and, you know, curses me in Spanish and then runs upstairs.
I'd love to be part of that. I wish I spoke fluent Spanish so I could just be there for that conversation. Yeah. Oh, they open up a new pool. Hey, mijo. Mijo, man.
And then she goes upstairs.
Hey, look what they have for dinner tonight. Taco night. Huh?
Taco Tuesday
at LW.
So Shannon gets in the car, God bless her. She races to Bethesda, Maryland. And I'm going to send you the picture that my mom sent because she doesn't know how to explain to anybody.
She's lost her car, incapable of doing anything.
She's disoriented.
What do you mean? She's lost her car?
She's lost her car.
Oh, she's a pedestrian.
She's on foot.
Oh, I missed this. I thought she was in a vehicle.
No.
Just driving around?
She lost her car with her Garmin.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, hold on. We have to stop and reset here.
Okay.
I thought she was driving and she lost her way when she was in a car. So she went to her destination.
Yes.
Parked her car.
Yes. There was a doctor's appointment. Yes.
Came out of her doctor's office.
Yes.
Was parked on the street, I assume.
Correct.
And she got turned around.
Yes.
And she's lost her way.
She's been on foot in the heat for an hour.
Oh, I forgot we're in the middle of the hottest summer.
Yeah, now I'm worried. History.
Me too.
Now I'm officially worried.
Look, I probably wouldn't have left the Bush production because, you know, work comes first and it's our reputation.
No, but I get it. It's a
terrifying feeling, but my wife can deal with her, and she did. But I'll tell you, my mom did not make it easy. As I'm going to send the group the picture that she sent to my wife to let her know where she is. She said, I'm in Old Georgetown. And she said, where? Old Georgetown. And we live in Georgetown.
Now, where was her doctor's appointment?
Yeah. In Bethesda.
It's impossible for her to be in Old Georgetown.
Unless she's on Old Georgetown Road and she thinks
Georgetown Pike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Old Georgetown Pike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I see now. I can see where that would be an issue.
Shannon's like, you're in Georgetown. No. I'm in Old Georgetown. She goes, Mrs. Ceballos, we are in Old Georgetown.
You're not in something, you are on a something. Street woman.
And my mom yells at Chance. She goes, I'm in Bethesda, okay?
Poor and by Shannon. The way, the old Georgetown is not a thing.
No,
it's just
it's
Georgetown.
Not, but if you're a foreigner, you got to decipher the code, right?
Exactly.
Did she park her car
on old
side
Georgetown
street?
Pike, yes.
On old that is not a side street.
Yeah, but
that is
but
rather.
There's plenty of parking there.
Yeah. Is it Old Georgetown Pike? Is that
no,
what I think it's old,
no,
is
there's
that?
Georgetown Pike and Old Georgetown Road.
Let me look
Old Georgetown
is.
Road. Another main drag, though, correct?
Yeah, a big one,
yeah. So this Georgetown Road. Yes. So this is the picture she sent my wife.
Okay.
This is the only marker she sent her. This is where I am.
I kind of recognize those buildings from that part of the
world. It's a street sign. Yeah. So right. At this point, my brother has been brought into the SOS, the anesthesiologist. So I felt a little better about her disrespecting me. Now she's disrespecting my brother. And my brother is literally in the hospital between patients, thank God, looking at Google Maps to look for the same picture to match up the street view for where my mom might be.
Did she? This the is whole thought of maybe right, a cross street never entered her mind.
No.
How much of this? Now, this is a serious. This has been in the news a lot.
Yeah,
so
silver
we're talking
alert.
About.
Yeah.
How much of this?
Silver alert.
And we've named the show. How much of this is cognition and how much of this is being Bolivian in America?
No, I think that, look, she's assimilated. I know English. She'll yell at you, right?
But this
right.
is the question. She got her way. She made her way to the doctor's appointment. Then what? She came out of the building and just got totally lost, got turned around?
And this is what she'll tell us. I got a little bit more out of her literally this weekend when I said, Mom, what really happened?
Right.
I think she finally broke down and called us 2 hours into looking for her car.
Oh, the poor thing. See, I feel bad for her.
She was scared that old Leisure World would come knocking because we'd start being concerned about
it. It's a bad sign.
So yesterday she said that, she goes, 3 hours. I said, you said you were out there for an hour. You called us.
And she goes,
she was out there. Yeah. Yeah, she's out there.
Oh, see, now I feel bad. So, but the question...
You
got
to know when to ask for help, Mike. You can't just be too proud. You know that?
But
you know, and also, if she had called when she first got lost, she wouldn't have been in a session.
Yeah. Yeah, she would have been... Timing would have been perfect.
Timing would be great.
Did she give any more detail on how
this, is what happened.
This might have happened? Because I'm kind of curious
rheumatoid,
about it.
Rheumatoid. A rheumatoid arthritis. Her doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah, her right. doctor.
Her rheumatologist.
Rheumatologist. Yes. He moved to Bethesda on Old Georgetown Road. So she went to a new doctor's office. She went into one of those buildings that has, it's in basically a cross street, like four different streets are covered.
And in Bethesda, you've got a lot of those. Some of them have atriums, and
so
they're confusing.
She went in one entrance and went out the one that she thought she came in on and then got turned around.
That happens because, you know, if it's an atrium building, there's going to be a left and a right, and they look exactly
then
the same.
That's the last generous thing I'm going to say about this.
She's got the mask. She's got the mask the entire time. She's already scared because she's in that, death zone she's got an autoimmune situation going on.
Right.
And
poor thing.
So then she's hot. Then she walks around on those, heels that she likes to wear regardless of how old she is for 2 hours.
Let me just say this. If she's just turned 70, she's not all that old. She's really not. I mean, there are a lot of people that are functioning.
I think
you a little man by the name of Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If you worry about cognition and that type of thing.
Shannon saw running on the street yesterday.
Yeah.
Jogging.
He was looking for his car.
Funny.
So she got turned around, and
she got
poor thing
around.
Was out there for a
and
long
then she
time.
Was scared because she was. I mean, I guess all that shtick adds up after a while, Mike. When you're like, hey,
you second guess yourself, and
she was embarrassed and scared. But this is the coup d'état of everything.
But she's sharp, right? Your mom is sharp.
She is. She's sharp enough to hide that she's lost because she thinks her kids are going to sell the house.
Yeah, but not sharp enough to know where her car is. She falls right in that gray area.
So two
silver
things happen.
Alerts.
So, a lady asked her because she saw her walking around and saw her probably sweating. And this old lady just walked.
Poor
and then
thing.
Somebody
I
said,
feel
"Hey,
for your mom, I want to give her a hug right now.
Get in my car. I'll drive you around to find your car." Because she saw the lady rolled down her window. She goes, "Are you okay? Like, do you need help?"
She obviously
why don't
looked
you wait
like
in my
she was
car?
In distress.
And,
right.
And my mom, because she's seen every unsolved mystery known to man, she's like, "No quería meterme en otro problema." which is I didn't want to create another problem.
And yes. I'm like, you're going to kill me?
You're going to kidnap
put
her.
Put me in the trunk of like, your car and the, take me
all
away.
All that will be left is the flip-flop on the roof.
So she didn't get in the car. And then this is the great part. So Shannon finally finds her.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon quickly, because she's been corresponding with my brother, God bless him, because I was in the session. And my brother says, whatever you do, grab her phone, put in her code, because we all know her code, and then share her location with the entire family, because you can share the location. So this will never happen again. Like just right. from your iPhone to the entire family. No, so we got dibs on her wherever she is, wherever mm-hmm. the phone is.
Right, right.
So we do that. And then my mom looks at Shannon and says, what took you so long?
And see, why is she mean to your wife?
Well, because she's
why
overheated she and hostile, and any Latino is overheated and hostile and cranky. And my mom and my beautiful wife, who thought she looked in her purse, picked up a seltzer and said, "I brought you a drink." And her whole attitude changed, and she quenched her thirst.
That's great.
Yeah. Shannon is such a sweetie. I mean, she really is. And it's just like, it's the way it works.
And very sweet. So then at that point, my wife takes a mental note and says, and this is a quick sidebar. She says, you know, she's probably so scared and disoriented because she could have just said she's at TD Bank, which is right in front of where she was standing. Because all they were asking is for markers. And she goes, right. I'm in Old Georgetown. And TD Bank in Bethesda, there's one of them. She could have said that. And she didn't go in the bank. She was scared because, again, this COVID-19.
That's a hell of a nice condo she was standing in front of. That's very high nice. Dollar right there. That's a high dollar condo. Yeah.
And then.
And convenient to the bank.
And then mm-hmm. she says to Shannon, okay, you drive me to Wisconsin Avenue, and then you point, and I go. So,
she's saying now she wants to start all over again?
No.
Where she wants Shannon to drop her off, and she's on her own? No,
she wants a caravan out to Wisconsin Avenue.
Right.
And she wants Shannon to pull over and point in the direction she needs to go, and she'll be okay. So Shannon, she doesn't realize that my mom, has her little Garmin. She's got to put all her GPS in. So Shannon goes to Wisconsin Avenue. Wisconsin Avenue is pretty effing busy.
Sure.
And so she pulls over. My mom pulls over, and they're both just idly standing there, back to back, two cars.
Right.
And Shannon's pointing, doing this and that. No. What my mom always wants, and we've done.
Wait. Now this is where you're. This is where the whole family's challenged in this regard. Probably not your doctors. But you are.
Thank you.
Challenge. What do you say about two cars back to back? Shannon, is your mother in the car with Shannon right now?
No, my mom's found her car because Shannon's driven her to her car.
Shannon got her to her car, and she's asking Shannon to
lead
her.
Did I miss that? Did he say that at any point? Shannon got her to her car?
Well, by the time he got the soda, then they drove to the car,
to the car.
It was around the corner.
So she was close.
She was around
the corner. So she meets your mom's... Shannon finds your mom standing on the street.
Yeah, literally probably 500 feet from her car. But she's so exhausted and overheated that she's just
immediately
like,
finds it. And then Shannon's going to lead your mother out.
To Wisconsin Avenue.
To get home.
Yes, to get home.
The starting line.
Yeah.
Sit in the easy chair and maybe
so
take a
what
nice
Shannon
long nap.
Doesn't know is I've gone through this 1,000 times in every Ceballos in our family. When my mom says to point, it's not just like stick your hand out and point which way to go. It's open the door.
Oh, you got
to
get out
of the car, walk over to her and say, you're going this way. So Shannon is inside her SUV and she's pointing out the window, this way.
As any normal person would.
My mom's just sitting there and she's hanging out. And then she finally gets frustrated and calls me and goes, what are you doing? She goes, I'm pointing. She goes, no, come show me.
Oh, my God. No. Has your mom always been geographically challenged this?
Yes. She once tried to drive to see my sister at Towson University, and she made it to the New Jersey Turnpike.
Okay. So this has nothing to do with
trouble.
Go ahead.
I got to ask, if she got to her car, why did she need to get to Wisconsin Avenue?
She was scared. She trusted her Garmin.
She was freaked out.
Yeah, she didn't trust
the
system.
And she wanted a little extra help to get out of Bethesda.
I understand that. Okay.
Which could have been the Arctic Circle based on the afternoon.
My mom needs a valet every time. Most people say, hey, Mike, if you're get me to the highway and then just point me in the direction you got to go, you stick your hand out and point.
Right.
I know.
You don't do the move when you're a patrol. If you remember this, you can cross the walk.
Yeah.
Well, let me just make a suggestion.
Yes.
I know he started a new job, but if that doesn't pan out, I think there is a gentleman named Adrian Garcia that could be her Hulk.
Yeah.
He could be her driving Miss Daisy.
Absolutely.
Maybe. And the beauty of it is,
he could take your mom to the Piggly Wiggly.
He's smaller than the Garmin. So he would take up less room.
I don't think she's losing it. I think we got another 10 years before that happens.
God, I hope so.
I think it was the heat, the mask, the stress.
Yeah, she's geographically challenged. Yeah. Has been for a long time, obviously. Mm. This is not cognition. No. This is it. You know, she needs to go to a geography boot camp. That's what she needs to do. Give her geography boot camp and make sure that we tell Diego that, there might be another job in his future.
I'll let him know. Good luck. Thank you.
All right, good luck, Mom.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I knew the Germans would hire you, Sala. You're the best digger in Egypt.
My services are entirely inconsequential to them.
Indeed.
You hired or shanghaied every digger in Cairo. The excavation is enormous. They hire only strongbacks and they pay pennies for them. It is as if the pharaohs had returned.
When did they find the map room?
3 days ago. They have not one brain among them. Except one. He's very clever. He's a French archaeologist.
What's his name?
Well, they call him Baloche.
Belloc. Belloc.
Dr. Jones, again we see there is nothing you can possess which I cannot take away. And you thought I had given up. You chose the wrong friends. This time it will cost you.
Too bad the Jovitos don't know you the way I do, Belloc.
Yes, too bad. You could warn them. If only you spoke Jovitos.
Hokana Matuso! Robata!
Hello!
Why, Dr. Jones, what are you doing in such a nasty place?
Why don't you come on down here? I'll show you.
Thank you, my friend, but I think we're all very comfortable up here. That's right, isn't it? Yes, we are very comfortable up here.
So once again, Jones, what was briefly yours is now mine. What a fitting end to your life's pursuits. You're about to become a permanent addition to this archaeological find. Who knows? In 1,000 years, even you may be worth something.
Son of a bitch.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., very close to Bethesda. The Mike O'Mara Show is on right now. And we're heard all over the joint. Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York. Swan Quarter, North Carolina.
I'd love to visit there.
Myersville, Maryland, Camden, Maine, beautiful little town in Maine, Richie, Rich, Rich. Not all of it, but, you know, like those towns.
Sure.
Park Rose in Portland, Oregon, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now. I have been getting KiwiCo crates for my son for a good long time now, and the cool thing about the KiwiCo crates during a pandemic is it's not a screen. It's
right.
Not your child sitting in front of the TV or sitting in front of a video game or playing Minecraft for 19 hours a day. It is an actual project and an art project or a science project that you get in the mail. It comes to you. You open it up. There's real stuff in there, and you can do it with your kid. My son is 7 years old. These are super cool hands-on projects every single month. KiwiCo actually got Michael interested in astronomy, and then Dirk brought him a telescope. So
yeah.
KiwiCo results in good things happening. Thanks to the solar spinner that we made together and his constellation lantern. I was even surprised by how much I love this as an adult. You can do this with your children, and there are different crates for kids of all ages. So there is something for everyone and every kid on your list. It's KiwiCo, people. KiwiCo, redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There is something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. We genuinely love it. Get your first month free at KiwiCo. That's KiwiCo.com/TMOS. And you're going to love it like we did. I really loved it when we built a kaleidoscope, too.
Yes.
That was super fun. And it just is this satisfaction of doing something real. That's
tangible,
not virtual, yeah. That's not on a screen. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for that outlet and you're saying, my kids are static, they are stagnant, they need something new, get KiwiCo. You will absolutely love it. Later on today in the podcast, make sure we do this before we get out of here. Right. Want to play a clip from one of the podcasts that Oscar works on that he's put a lot of effort into called All the Best, which is put on by the George and Barbara Bush Foundation, hosted by Sam LeBlanc, who is the grandson of George H.W. Bush and grandson of Barbara Bush as well. The thing that's cool about this is this week on their podcast, they delve into, with Richard House, who's a genius in his own right, they delve into the invasion of Kuwait, one of the most significant moments in the George H.W. Bush presidency. And what you're going to hear when we play this a little bit later on is a... You know what? We won't wait. Let's okay. have that standing.
Right.
Might as well dive right in, because I'll forget. I don't want to do that. This is, to me... something presidential that I think people should hear, whether ye be a Democrat or a Republican. You're hearing what is essentially an audio diary where what President Bush did, and I'm sure other presidents as well, they have dictated almost continuously during their workday the items of the day. I think they call them contemporaneous notes.
Yeah.
This process, correct me if I'm wrong, Oscar, because I'm not 100% sure on this. This process is done to not only enhance the permanent record and make sure that you have a permanent record of the incidences, thought processes, where you were with things, but it's also... It's a way of making sure
the entire team is on the same page.
That the team is organized on the same page and that things are going on.
Because it's such a fluid situation when it comes to really a nation on the brink of war.
Yeah.
That you want to make sure that everything has been accounted for and you are not leaving any of the details. Because think about it. A government, especially let's say the White House in the past, has been run by many individuals and team members. And if there are idiosyncrasies or messages that are frankly not passed along or made or really shared with the team or really on the record, then what good does it do? And for example, Mike, we deal with this on a much, much different level, but we're lucky in today's society to have like Slack or email chains or all these threads of the record.
Right.
This is a different era then. I don't want to say it was the Dark Ages, but as far as technology is concerned, this is as good as it got.
Mm-hmm. And what struck me, and the reason I wanted to play this on our show, is a word. You know, there's a reason when you hear this tape, I think you'll know why this position is called the Commander-in-Chief. Because this man has command of the issues of the day. He is not reading. He is dictating from his memory of recent events, but it doesn't matter because the fact is this guy has it going on. This is on so many levels, the effort that is required to do this job properly, the number of individuals that he has had to have brief him, the international relations that they have. It's why they have Richard Haass on it, because he worked in the HW presidency. And then for those of you that kind of just like the cool stuff, you're hearing the presidential Marine One spooling up. And it's funny because there's a missed golf date in this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just want to play, by the way, if you want to check out, it's All the Best, George and Barbara with Sam LeBlanc. And it's a great podcast that's produced out of Podcast Village. I think you'll enjoy this. This is a clip from one of their episodes called This Will Not Stand. This is about the invasion of Kuwait when it was happening. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
This, just for context, August 5th, 1990. And I believe it was a Sunday.
Right.
And he had to fly back from Camp David to the White House.
Iraq had gone into Kuwait, and we didn't know what the hell was going on. Saddam Hussein, you know, obviously a lot happened after that, went on for years and years, including the presidency of his own son. So that's this is history. But what I wanted to play is listen to the competency and the command of the issues of the day that that George H.W. Bush had. I think you might get a kick out of this. Let's listen.
It's now Sunday afternoon, and I'm heading back to Washington. A couple hours earlier than I'd expected. I expected to go play golf at 1:30 with Brady, Sam Nunn, and Scowcroft, but there's too much going on, so I will get to the White House now at 3 o'clock and get ready for a 5 o'clock overall review meeting. It's been probably the most hectic 48 hours since I've been president, and for national security interests. I've been on the phone incessantly, and I've written down a long collection of names. The bottom line is that the West is together. Japan, Kaifu calling me early Sunday morning to tell me that his cabinet had acted on four major points. In essence, it boils down to cutting off everything economically with Iraq. Talk to Prime Minister Mulroney. Canada is with us in the United Nations and in NATO. Mulroney called me Sunday to tell me of a call he had with Ozal. Ozal, as I know from a personal call with him, wants collective action under Chapter 7, giving him some cover. He wants the Saudis to cut off the pipeline. He wants interdiction of the oil by sea. And then he, Ozal, will do his part. But he can't do it alone. The Iraqis send an emissary, and Ozal feels the man is lying. The Iraqis yesterday sent a word out they were going to withdraw in 24 hours, start withdrawal. And so far, there's no sign of withdrawal at all. There's simply a feeling that they're stalling and delaying. And in fact, this morning's intelligence was just the contrary. It's intercepts of the UAE being threatened.
All right. And it goes on and on. And it's right up in the intergovernment. That is the man speaking contemporaneously, dictating this.
Boom, boom,
and
boom,
it's
boom,
just,
boom,
and, I mean, that goes just on for another 10 minutes.
It gives you chills.
I love his thought process. You can see the mind of a man who knows diplomacy and strategy and governing. And he just connects all the issues in a very linear way. And it's really a fascinating listen. Got to.
And I'm sure he's not the only president that has done that. Many of them, maybe by notes, but you're hearing the way he did it, and you're getting a sense of the magnitude of world events and what it takes. And Richard Haass is on that show, interviewed by Sam LeBlanc.
Yes.
And talks about that time and what it was like and what happened.
May I add this? And Mike, you know that you and the entire audience has seen what this evolution of just not just the show, our show here, but the Podcast Village and the wonderful high profile clients we've been really, really pleased to work with on a daily basis.
It's exciting.
But what I would say is this, that regardless of party or a political party, your affiliation, just understanding that we had somebody in the White House that was that capable, like, it made me feel so prideful of of what he was able to do outside of our work together with the foundation or anything like that. But hearing that made me feel like the right person at that time was in office.
Yeah, and this is a guy that cut his teeth in lots of different CIA, a lot of different government positions, and it's nice to have somebody in charge who you know, who's that versed on it. It was just fascinating
also,
to hear what was going on. Building coalitions is what he's talking
outside
about.
Outside of politics, just a window into history.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, really neat that if you want to know what all the best the podcast is all about, it's really friends of George and Barbara Bush and these recollections and going back in history. If you've got a if you're a student of history, I think it's a wonderful series to listen to. And Oscar has had the honor of working very closely with the Bush family on this, and here we are, and we hope that there are more wonderful projects Absolutely. That come out of Podcast
it is,
Village.
It is so it's really important exciting. Because as we talked about earlier, as the world seems to be aging, this is a great, great record of history, and not just stuff like the Kuwait battle and the political issues. When you talk to people that have personal issues and personal relationships yeah. with the Bush family, you see what a really nice and kind and sound man he was. He was just, that's the thing that you get from him, is they always say George H.W. Bush was a good man. And a man you could trust. And he really paints a great
picture.
Quite
a legacy. Quite a legacy.
This is the last thing I'll say about H.W. When he passed away, there were many, many documentaries about mm-hmm. the life of George H.W. Bush. And the thing that I found absolutely generational, a lot of these World War II guys, my father, mm-hmm. God rest his soul, had this same training. And what the training was, that you never gloat. Mm-hmm. You always look out for, humility in victory. And those were different times. And that was yeah. one of the things that, he was not about showing the other guy up. He would be competitive yeah. to a fault. They talk about his right. think of the ambition to be to be a president of the United States, to right. run for president, to run for any kind of office. The ambition's there. He's gonna knock you down to beat you. He wants to kill you. But that's what all these politicians. But
gotta be.
Once victory is at hand, the humility of that and understanding that you have to work with people that existed, and he didn't like bullies either. Mm-hmm. And you hear that like right through Yale when he was on the baseball yeah. team, all the way yeah. through his life, he did a lot of that. And so it's fascinating, and it's really, really an interesting look at relatively recent history. So I think yeah. That's super cool. And to offer balance on the show, when Oscar comes in here, I'd like to promote the next segment we will be talking about, whether Winslow, our new Boston Terrier, is purposefully farting in my face. Oh. We're going to do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show, because we have a balance show.
This is your president speaking. These are trying times. So now I will provide you with more of my favorite words. When you hear these, it will help. It just will. Fancy, drippy, golden brown, grape, rope, hooker, intense, pointy, soda, glazed, smurf, cute, jacuzzi, parcheesi, ham, bunny rabbit, Sinbad, dodgeball, energy, pea. I meant the vegetable, not the other one, but that's okay too. And supremacy. Thank you. Don't trust the postal service, and don't forget to vote on December 13th. Remember, you can't spell America without me. Get bent.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Freshly. We've all spent a lot of time at home in the past few months, a lot. And at first, it was kind of fun cooking at home. Well, now, if you're like me, you're plenty tired of cooking all around the clock. Enough already. Oscar Santana lives on Freshly. He loves the product. It's fantastic. Freshly understands that food needs to be delicious, healthy, and simple. Right, 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 right. Right. With Freshly, you can avoid the grocery store and enjoy fully prepared dinners delivered fresh, not frozen, right to your door. And I will tell you something. I was thinking about the meatballs. They got the good meatballs that I like so bad. I love it at Freshly Meatballs. Yes, Oscar.
Mike, I would say that this week's favorite meal, I switched it up, is the sausage and peppers. Fantastic.
Oh, it is good.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Hey! I think of Pauly when I think of that. Freshly chefs and nutritionists do all the work. All you do is heat for 3 minutes and dinner is done. Choose a plan that works for you and take a break from all that cooking. It's too hot anyway. You're going to love yes. Freshly, and join the almost 1.5 million satisfied Freshly customers and skip the shopping, the prepping, the cooking, the cleanup. Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off their first two orders at Freshly.com/TMOS. Don't wait. That's Freshly.com/TMOS. And we thank you. Yeah. This dog that we added to our family, growing like a weed, Boston Terriers, tons of personality. Every little bit dog. I love this. We've mentioned before, though, a gaseous expulsion that can really drive people out of a room.
He's sort of a smush-faced dog, right?
But he's a little guy.
Yeah. But that seems to be a common trait among smush-faced dogs is they have the gas. It's just the way they are.
But there's nothing like, and it's almost on and gone. Like, it's real quick. But last evening, Mrs. O'Mara, I think we'd already put Michael to bed. I'm watching, what the hell was the movie I watched? Not that good. It was a Year of Violence about a guy in the 80s. Yeah,
fun.
Fit my mood, you know.
Yeah.
Some guy, Hispanic guy that is trying to build an oil business. And it had Albert Brooks in it. And it had
is it one of those movies where Albert Brooks is now older and doesn't even be Albert Brooks anymore?
It's he's just like Albert Brooks slouching and being
yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah.
You've got to do that now. I mean, I don't understand that career.
How did you
at all?
How did you? No, did you just turn on the and you're like, oh,
just
watch
flipping?
This. Okay,
just flipping. I'm like, that looks interesting. And it's about how the guy's trying to break through and he's getting indicted by the government and other oil companies trying to move him out by hijacking his trucks. It was just weird stuff. It wasn't gangstery. It was a guy trying to do the right thing, and he's got a relationship with his wife, who was the lady in the poker movie. Oh God, Jessica Chastain.
Nice.
And when Jessica Chastain is on screen, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. Anyway, I like Jessica Chastain.
God, I'm watching this,
and Winslow will come up and put his paws up on the chair like 9 times. Finally, it's my clue that he's going to come up, and then sometimes I'll put him up on my lap.
Oh, he likes hanging with you. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, I think he does, but I'm not sure. I'm right at the cusp now where he's getting more freedom and independence, and he's running around. But
when he approaches you, is it because Carla is unavailable? Because that's when I get my best Linus time.
If he's super tired, he'll stay on my lap when Carla is out in the kitchen. If he's anything but that, he will jump down as soon as he sees her. So she's still the alpha male.
But when he's tired, if you're his safety net,
he likes that.
That is sweet.
He prefers, now that he's able to jump up on the other chair that we have in the room, prefers to sleep over there.
So he's your
and prefers
he's your equal.
To sleep. He's my equal.
Yeah.
I still like him.
Does he have a good vertical? Is he a good jumper? That 10
he's getting
feet.
Bigger. And listen, we have a Chihuahua, so getting big for me is relative.
Yeah,
but
he's
certainly growing a little bit. And he jumps up on the chair, and that's where he'll hang out to sleep. But he occasionally wants, you know, he'll paw at me and go, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy."
Sweet.
So
right.
The relationship is there. Yeah. He'll kiss me in the face. I hope it continues. Everybody, here's what I don't believe. He'll say, "Oh, it's going to get a lot better than that. It's going to." I don't buy that for a second.
Why would they say that?
Because they said apparently that's the breed of dog. My buddy Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Says Boston Terriers are the greatest breed of dog in the world. What he did last night on two separate occasions, though, he jumps up on my lap, then he's trying to get, and he maneuvers his body where he is literally sitting on my chest.
Mm.
And then he adjusts again. And then he adjusts again. And by the time he's done adjusting, his little nubby, non-functioning tail that a Boston Terrier has is off of my left shoulder. And I feel him move. And I feel the and it is not I'm so close to his little doggy Duke.
It's brutal.
Right. I'm so close that this isn't like the average that's horrible. No. It's almost like something you would smell at a refinery.
I'm picturing World War I.
It was stunningly.
A chemical weapon?
Yeah, mustard gas.
And I sat there and I said, "Winslow, no, you don't, not in my face." And I turn him around and he puts his little muzzle up there and he chills.
That's nice.
Then he gets up again.
So are you in your recliner? So you're sort of at an angle,
right? I'm always in my recliner.
I don't mean that.
My son and wife would tell you, if I'm not doing something that's important, that's where I am.
That's why you pay the money for the care that you want.
Always feet up, though. Always recline, Or just are you sitting?
I'm usually the legs are up. Yeah.
Well, you are a legendary person. You like to prop your feet up. You always have. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Feet elevated. I think it might have contributed to my osteoarthritis, but I have the feet. So he gets up after that, and then he jumps off again.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 minutes later, he puts his paws up. I'm like, all right, make up your mind. But I love it because it's like
right,
he comes
right
down. And he gets right down in between my knees where his face is facing the TV. And this dog, the sign of a smart dog, actually watches television. He actually watches the TV.
Does he react? The TV. Does he react to things? Like,
no.
I've always wondered.
He laughs, Rob. He laughs heartily at the funny line.
Now that's not what I meant. There are dogs that will bark at animals on television. Like, and I've seen this many times. And I wonder, is that the mark of a very smart dog or a very stupid dog?
No, I think he's smart.
I'm with you. All right.
But
I think eventually he will bark at it.
They're like 35th on the list of breeds.
Mm.
So that's not dumb. That's not smart. I think so. I'll look it up. So he gets down there and he's watching a little TV, but his head's up, so he's not sleeping. And then makes his way up to the chest again. I'm watching the movie. I'm just kind of looking around him. And then I notice he's put himself in the same position again, and I get a death fart twice.
Round
like
two.
Within a half an hour, I get two death farts. And he's, and by the way, you might say, is he capping? Because you know you smell that, you go, you kept no
yeah, urgency.
He can go out in the yard, drop a coil, come back inside, and then lay that out there. It's constant, whatever the intestinal tract of that little Boston Terrier, it's messed
I
up.
Don't
it's
know
as smushed up as his face.
If that's a trait, like a dominance trait. Like, I've seen enough dogs like hump someone's leg to be like, I own you. I own you.
Right.
And then on the other side, the passing of gas is something I think that just like by a lot, he might just be so comfortable with you, Mike. He's like, I guess we're just laying down and farting.
I don't think he controls it. I don't think he controls it at all. You know,
it could be a fact. Maybe he just doesn't like Albert Brooks movies. It's like a thumbs down.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing that you know, some of us on this show haven't experienced from people.
You know, getting farted. Tell in me the about face. It. Yeah,
I know you dealt with that all the time, but
God,
I still love him. I still love him. He's a good little doggy.
How many pounds is he now?
I'm not sure. I will weigh him. I will check his intelligence, and I will give you a report at a later date.
And find out his favorite TV show.
Well, this all comes favorite from the vet. I don't know. I know Santos is 40 pounds now. Yeah. He's a little fatty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is true. But we take him to the main vet, and it's tough because, you know, you got to wait in the outside area. And I'm not talking about a lobby. I'm saying out in the parking lot where people have the moose unleashed. Up here. We'll take a break.
Yeah, my moose seems listless. Can you look at my moose?
Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, I'm Pony. Do you like bonuses? How about shows? Well, how about a bonus show?
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's unreal. The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. It's a thing. And you can
I think you could knock. I think you could knock two of those out a week.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't think we need to keep that around for 10 weeks. That's not necessary. Do a new one, Pony.
Rob,
do a new
one. Your music is a little low.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, turn it up a little bit. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lightstream. Let me see here. If you want to save money this summer, that's a great way, by the way, for you junior broadcasters out there. If you're going to do a live read of commercials, say start everyone out with. Let me see here.
Well, it's comfortable. What it is,
yeah, it's so casual.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Lightstream. If you want to save money this summer, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? Refinancing with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream, you can save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. So much lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Lightstream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. You can get a loan from $5 to $100,000, and you even get your money as soon as the day you apply. I love this service. I love this website, and you need to check it out. So if you don't, you're throwing your money away.
True.
Our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/TMOS. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/TMOS. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/TMOS for more information. Thank you.
Fantastic. All right,
so welcome back to the Mike O'Meara. My underlined text is verbatim and required. There, that's what
You got it, Mike.
Perfect.
I get it now. There's a lot of it. Rob Spiewak, we have a very short break here.
Yes.
I need a Rob Spiewak wildlife update. I give them up here in Maine all the time.
Right.
You said you have one down in Leesburg. By the way, did you happen to see when we had my sister on, she was talking about the koi wolf?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you made the joke about the deer's, the deer, deerilla.
Deerilla. I saw someone did an artist rendering of it.
That was so goddamn
it looked
funny.
Just like that.
Our listeners are so funny. The best. Somebody did an artist rendering of the combination of a gorilla and a deer.
It's a creature native to Loudoun County, Mike, attracted to granite countertops.
I just don't think of where you live as like a wildlife area at all.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, I'm only a few miles away from West Virginia. You cross the bridge, and we're right up in the mountains.
How close are you to Luray Caverns?
Not close at all.
Oh, I always feel like
that would be, he would be north of Luray Caverns. Luray Caverns is in the southern part of Virginia.
A place also, I haven't been to yet, but I'm excited to go one day.
It stays the same temperature all year round.
Let me tell you about Luray Caverns, because I did years ago. I took my children there.
Yes.
It's really, really fine.
Oh, it's not great?
It's just fine.
They make it seem so great on the commercials.
Mike, what about the stalagmite organ?
Very fine.
Or yes. Bacon and eggs. Yeah, right.
Pony checking in.
Yeah. You know what? I've been to Luray Caverns a few times, and they show off this bacon and eggs thing, and they're like, oh, it looks like bacon and eggs, and you get to it, and it's smaller than bacon and eggs. It's terrible.
So Pony feels strongly about Luray Caverns.
Yeah, Jesus, some emotion.
Yeah. It's a very old natural wonder. In Virginia.
Did you get broken up with at Luray Caverns? You're really mad about it.
No.
Did you get some bad pot down there?
My friends and I. Well, yeah. We did, actually, one day when we went to Luray Caverns. We got disappointed.
Pony and I, by the way, Pony and I have more common ground than people give us credit for. We like the same things on TV, and I think he reacted the same way. It's just kind of, you expect more. Would that be accurate, Pony?
Exactly.
You expect it to be a little bigger, a little more special, and something.
It's
really
pointed
wasn't.
Rocks. It's all it is.
Well, now hold on. I think natural wonders, I'm up in the middle of them up here. I think that national parks.
Acadia National Park, gorgeous.
It's spectacular. Amazing. I mean, you've got so many things that I never.
Cadillac
I'm talking
Mountain.
50, 60 years, I'm still not tired of this stuff. I like seeing it, you know. I haven't done as much as I because of the Tourons that are up here. By the way, they're pouring in here. Way
of
to
course.
Go, America. No need to put a hold on that vacay. Just come on in with your car carriers on top and stand in line at all the shops and everything. I'm hunkered down again. Everybody is up here. Everybody that either lives here full time or spends a part of the year here is hunkering down.
I got my 72-hour COVID test to get into Massachusetts with paperwork yesterday. And for the first time, they had me go out to the car and swab myself. Really?
Really?
Really weird.
That's different. Can you tell us about that tomorrow? I want to hear
Absolutely.
About the experience.
That
Have you
sounds
gotten your
like
results yet?
I'll get it tomorrow.
How can it be trusted? You could swap it out.
I agree. This is all very weird.
It's not
weird.
A urine test. They're not
kind
of checking for a job like he's got heroin.
I actually want
the man
to know.
Wants to go to the Cape, though. He could be swabbing someone who's clean.
Like he's sitting there with this little Q-tip up somebody else's nose.
Exactly.
I have a fever.
Give $5 to an intern here. Jam this up your nose.
We'll do that tomorrow. Yes. Tell me about your wildlife.
Okay, so just so you know, I'm near the mountains. I'm also, you probably don't know this, I'm about a mile away from the Potomac River. I mean, we're way out here. We're about 40 miles outside of the city. And in West Virginia, they have spotted what they call zombie cicadas, Mike. And this is, you see, we haven't had a big cicada invasion in Northern Virginia in a while because what happens is all the building has upset their natural habitat. So where they're, you know, when you plow up and you dig and you build, that 17-year cycle, it's disturbed.
Oh, wow.
Not the case in West Virginia. Mike, Cicadas are being infected with a parasitic fungus that controls their mind and forces them to infect other insects. They're being called zombie cicadas, and they are experiencing a disturbing display of bee horror movie proportions where spores eat away their genitals, butt, and abdomen, and then are replaced with fungal spores used to transmit the fungus to other cicadas, and they are experiencing hypersexual behavior towards other cicadas. To a point, and I quote, "The parasitic fungus operates almost like LSD to the cicadas, and it manipulates the male cicadas into flicking their wings to imitate the female's mating invitation so they can infect unsuspecting male cicadas to rapidly transmit the disease. They're tricking them into having gay sex." And this is all happening in West Virginia. They're not a danger to people. So don't worry. You're not going to get attacked.
Do they make any different sounds or anything like that?
They still make the same sound. But the thing is they're feeding on each other.
Do you have cicadas in Leesburg? Have they come out of the ground in the D.C. area?
I haven't seen any this year. I have not seen it. But the thing is I don't think we will. Because again, this entire...
Well, they had to shut down because of the pandemic.
Well, and also tiny, tiny masks. Little, little guys.
You know, Don Geronimo used to eat cicadas on the show by the handful. I remember it was one of the most impressive things I ever saw in my whole life. I hated it. I hated the idea of eating a live bug. He had no problem. He'd shove four into his mouth and chew. I'm wondering if he grabbed some of those ones from West Virginia, if it would, you know, give you like an acid trip.
Maybe. I mean,
possibly enough of them.
They say that when they capture these cicadas, a third of their body is gone. It's just you've erased, like the tip of a eraser goes away. Yeah, it goes away.
Speaking of acid, if taking acid makes me like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I'll drop acid all the time. I love it. Guy pointing a gun at you and you're going,
I've had
that movie.
So many people in my life say that acid has changed their lives. And then you read, for the better, then you read the bio of Steve Jobs and you just realize how much acid he took. And you're like, what is going on? What am I missing?
The thing that's scary about acid, and I've read this about a lot of rock and roll people that have done it. Some are very much in favor of it. Some of them are against it. But everyone seems to agree that once you take it, your life changes in a way you can't change it back. Your brain works differently.
Yeah,
and
that's scary.
I can't risk that. However, if a third of my body is replaced by spores that makes me trick other males, I'm into that. I think that's cool. They say this is the quote that I really take away. This is from a West Virginia University bug guy. He says, the cicadas don't know they're infected. And I'm wondering, how do they determine that? Do they ask them? Hey, how you feeling?
Zombies. Isn't that in the word? They're zombies.
No, they swab them, just like Oscar got the swab. That's the way that goes.
I had a stranger use my swab.
That's right.
As Rob alleges.
Swab the cicadas. You put the little Q-tip up their nostrils. That's how you find out.
Yeah, and you can order free urine on the internet to replace it, too. Check this out. Clean as a whistle.
Spore. That ought to be one of Trump's words. Spore.
He doesn't like that word because he doesn't understand that word.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
If you'd like to learn more about the Mike O'Mara Show, the Library of Congress recommends these books. Men Are from Mars, Women Are from a Place Where I Break Your Computer and Sunglasses, The Very Hungry Spiewak, and Working from Home Beats Driving at Night.
Ha!
These and many interesting books aren't found in your local library. But if you'd like to read more, shop Walmart and Target through the TMOS Shopping Center and share your favorites at the TMOS Fans Book Club and Recommendations page on Facebook. We'll be happy to help you read more about it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages, Summertime and the Living is Easy.
Yes.
Yes, the hot August temps are here, and that means you can get yourself some delicious sweet corn. That's the way you say it. You don't say sweet corn, you say sweet corn.
Sweet corn.
Shucks, how about some sweet corn for you?
All your favorites, Silver Queen, Golden Bantam, Seneca Chief, Gold Cup, all the corns. That can be identified pre or post meal.
Exactly. Some assembly required.
And if you're feeling fancy, the good taste of Harmony. Is that a type of corn too?
Mike, I know all these corns from memory. That Harmony is both yellow and white kernels intermixed on the ear.
Ooh. Harmony corn. Harmony. If you can afford it, why not buy some pirate corn? Pirate corn. Mmm.
Mm.
It's a Oh, I'm not. That is horrible. That is a horrible dad joke you're making me read.
I was hoping you would roll through it and not know it was coming.
What was it?
Hey, Oscar.
Yeah?
Here comes a Rob dad joke. If you can afford it, why not buy some pirate corn? It's a buck an ear. Look at him.
Look, all he's right. Never heard it before.
That's right.
I've never
absolutely.
Heard it.
It's easily 200 years old. Easily.
And remember, if you buy 12, you get an extra. That's the baker's dozen. That's a bonus. It's nearly as satisfying as the TMOS bonus show. Get our bonus show. And now back buy to the dazzling Mario Lopez and Saved by the Bell, already in progress. Thank
great
you.
Great show.
So reboot.
Bonus pack. Just play the thing.
News.
Some people are experiencing quarantine blues.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
sure.
No.
Even Michelle Obama on her podcast, she said, quote, "There have been periods throughout this quarantine where I felt too low spiritually. These are not fulfilling times." I believe she echoes what we all feel to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. She says, quote, "So I know that I am dealing with some form of low-grade depression. I have been. It sucks."
Sure.
And naturally, it isn't just the quarantine. It's everything that's happening in the news, you know?
Yeah.
Including that big explosion that we haven't talked about over in Beirut. That was horrible. I saw a video yesterday of a bride doing a high-end video shoot in Beirut, Lebanon, and you see the camera, they're doing that kind of slow pan down her beautiful dress at the moment the bomb goes off. Not a bomb, sorry, I'm not an idiot. It's the explosion.
The explosion, and right.
I don't think there's ever been an explosion of that kind that's been more documented by videotape than that.
Terrifying.
Absolutely amazing.
Terrifying.
Really.
And every time you see it from every angle, it's just, you can't even wrap your head around it. It looks like something from Star Wars.
Have you seen the angle from the gentleman in the car driving on the highway? And
yeah,
then his
about
car,
miles away. Right?
Yeah, miles away, and his car just completely toppled over.
Ugh. Scary. I mean, and I guess they stored
nitrate.
Sodium nitrate. And they'd been warned for years that they shouldn't be storing it, but they just sort of overlooked it and said it's going to be all right. Well, it was
well,
not
if you're
all right.
Bummed at all this news, Michelle Obama suggests doing jigsaw puzzles. All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Michelle.
Puzzles.
Puzzles. Let me see. Everyone knows that Netflix sound.
Yeah.
Their
they
logo.
Play that. You know that one. They almost went with a totally different sound. A goat's bleat. They were almost going to use that for the Netflix sound. By the way, I haven't even talked about my wildlife. Maybe next week I can cover it.
Right.
We got goats across the street. We got them. I mean, thick.
Like
with goats.
Fun goats?
I mean, like, are they raised? Are they domesticated goats? Or are they wild goats?
Is there goat yoga?
I don't think it's like a goat dingo. I think they're like domesticated. I mean, I don't know. It's just goats.
Goats
wandering
can be
in
so
this yard.
Funny and so like fun to like hang out with.
Oh my God! You ever been to the Caps game with him?
Yes, I'll have an amaretto sour, please. A Netflix exec says, "I like the sound of a goat. It was funny. I thought it was quirky, and it was our version of Leo the Lion." So for a while, we were stuck on that goat sound. I thought that would be a good time. Leo the Lion, by the way, the MGM logo. That's a goat.
I don't know, dude. What? I don't know. Here.
These goats. I'm talking, they're like, I saw 10 goats in this yard when I was driving back from Hancock Point. I'm looking over, this guy's got goats or this lady's got goats. I don't know. And at night, we sit on the front porch. And last night, you're hearing sounds. They're not human, but they sound close to human. One sounds like a baby crying. And then you realize after a while, oh, no, that's a goat. That's one of those goats.
How big are they? And do they have horns? I mean, because some of them will actually have.
They're 1,000 feet tall.
That's a big goat.
Yeah. They're giant. Let me turn that up so you can hear that. Thank you very much. Let me do the swoosh. There it is.
There it is.
Major League Baseball has been struggling to operate without a bubble. MLB, every day there's another story about baseball where they're just stepping on it. Just 2 weeks into the season, two teams have already had to shut down due to full-blown outbreaks. Yesterday, the MLB Major League Baseball, released revised protocols and threatened to suspend players and staff members for the rest of the season for significant violations. The new guidelines, I read a deep dive on this. This is weird. They're so controlling that it feels like a list of rules that chaperones might have for an elementary school. Here they are. Number one, players and staff must wear face coverings at all times, with the exception of players on the field. They must also wear masks at all times at the hotel and at public places on the road. That's okay, right?
Yeah.
Here we go. Gets deeper. Players are strictly prohibited from meeting in hotel rooms, not even to share food. Each team, I'm sorry, guys, with this news. I'm literally trying to do this in the dark. I'm really trying to...
We'll fix that.
There we go. Each team will have a large room at the hotel with food that's set up for social distancing. Very odd.
I can't have you back to my room for a sandwich, though. You have to stay.
While eating and drinking, players... This is the weird one. Players are discouraged from talking to each other or even facing one another. It's just strange. It is. Players are not allowed to sit side by side on buses, and every other row must be empty. That's a kind of a what they do.
Yeah.
On planes, players can't get up from their seats unless they have to use the bathroom.
It's just so weird.
Well, I mean, Major as League a rule, that's, well, no. that's kind of the policy anyway, isn't it?
I believe that this is... They didn't want to do this, but they have to. Because the players probably weren't given the proper guidance at the beginning. They're like, let's just be safe. And let's just try to do the right thing.
Traveling in... I can articulate it this way, Oscar. I think that these rules are fine. Some of them are valid for anybody if they have to. The fact that they're flying them around and then they're saying eating and drinking is still permitted on planes, but players and staff are prohibited from talking to one another while doing so. I get it, but at the same time, the bubbles seem to be working.
Yes.
The NBA bubble seems to be working. And they might have thought about doing the same thing.
This is going to harm some teams more than others. I know the Astros are okay because they're communicating via signs.
Thank you. Bada bing, bada boom. Players must notify their compliance officer if they want to leave the hotel.
That doesn't... Major League Baseball just has it wrong on every level.
You shouldn't be leaving the hotel, right? If you're going to do this right.
This is the problem. There's so much freedom within the confines of the game and the rules because of the travel. You mentioned that.
Right.
What I would say is that right now, it's a make or break moment for Major League Baseball. If they don't put a cap on every other day, a new team being quarantined for 14 days, essentially, then the season's going to be lost. So they have to go to extremes.
What I'm getting from this is a lip service vibe, where you're letting people leave a hotel and you're flying in planes and the policies are lending themselves to the chance of them getting infected.
You're setting them up for failure is what you're saying.
That's what I think.
Take a page out of the Mike O'Mara show when Mike says, when you get to a city where you're supposed to be performing in, do not leave your hotel room at all.
Ever.
You'll never forget that.
Except for when Mike leaves his hotel room and does the opposite of what he told us to do.
But when he went down to the casino, he did not face anybody.
I didn't want to see anybody. I hid in a corner.
Yes.
I lost money. Last one, while at home, players and staff members are strictly prohibited from visiting bars, lounges, malls, or places with large groups of people. The fact that you're at home, aren't they keeping these NBA guys in a hotel, in a bubble?
Yep. Yeah.
That's the way. Yep. The only way it's going to work. Only way it's going to work. And by putting all these rules out and saying, look how good we're doing, it's not the priority.
Well, these rules are 3 weeks after they should have been put out in the first place.
If you were the commissioner, Mike, and you saw that the NBA seems to be working out, wouldn't at this point you say, look, I know you want to have your home games. We're just going to go down to Orlando. They've got facilities there. Let's just do it there.
Yeah, it's working.
Or maybe Alaska. Instead
Alaska.
Of Orlando, and by the way, it's still stunning to me that this stuff's going on in Florida, but who knows. Now on to another more important subject. Someone polled 2,000 drinkers and asked about what type of alcohol they were drinking when they did stupid stuff.
Oh, okay.
Here's what they found. Whiskey drinkers get arrested the most.
I can see that.
Almost twice as many people said they were drinking whiskey compared to rum in second place. Tequila was third. Vodka drinkers are the most likely to get naked in public.
That seems fun.
A third of people who streaked said they were drinking vodka when it happened. Number three, you're most likely to get a tattoo after drinking vodka. 42% were drinking it when they got inked up. Rum was next at 21%. Rum making a really nice showing on this list here.
Yeah.
Number four, you're most likely to set something on fire while drinking tequila.
I think rum probably making a good showing because it's a vacation drink.
Yeah.
And probably when you rum up on vacation, you're likely to do some crazy stuff.
Over a third of people who've started a fire when they were drunk said tequila was the culprit.
Tequila.
Tequila also causes the worst hangovers.
Yes.
I am living proof of that. I was. It was legal back in Connecticut at 18 to drink. My first real drinking was tequila, and I gave it up for almost all of my life.
Do you remember the brand?
Started in the last few years. I have no idea. All I knew, we were drinking shots.
And my
guy was
Belmont.
Sicker than
my guy was Montezuma in a plastic bottle, first tequila.
As a rule, avoid all liquors in a plastic bottle, just as a rule of thumb.
Tequila, the worst hangovers, followed by vodka, whiskey, rum, and gin. And tequila drinkers have the most blackouts. Just under four a year.
A year?
My God. 4 a year on average.
Wow. Scotch
once drinkers
per season.
Have
wow.
The fewest at 1.4 a year. Right now, I would, if I was surveyed, I would say craft beers give you the most chance of a blackout.
Yeah.
Sorry, Colonel Colburn. I apologize.
I would
no
say that blackouts for me most often caused by Christmas parties.
Yep. All I know is the day the Colburns were here, Carlos said, go out and look at the deck. And it looked like somebody slaughtered a cat.
Oh, I remember.
Anyway,
the
sticky
deck.
And it was all sticky beer. Yeah, sticky beer everywhere. Where I just gone, rah, 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 rah.
Well, you were opinionated.
What I do, what I do. So you're visiting one of our country's fine national parks, and you find yourself face to face with a bear. How will you escape? How will you escape? Well, the National Park Service would like to remind you what not to do. They put up a Facebook post yesterday on their official page reminding people that if they encounter a bear, quote, please don't push your slower friends down in attempts to save yourself.
Funny.
Wow.
The advice is mixed with other tips like don't run and don't climb a tree. If you can't run or climb a tree, what the hell is going on out here?
We don't hear it.
Screaming. I do. It's weird.
Goats.
If you can't run, climb a tree, or sacrifice your friends, what do? Stay calm, slowly move away, and walk sideways while you keep eye contact with the bear.
I'm not going to bite you, baby.
They find that non-threatening.
I thought the rules were to get big, like make yourself big.
Yeah, I thought that was what you're supposed to do.
And then hold your ground.
Mm-hmm. No. Didn't you see the Revenant? Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio. He made himself big. Look what happened to him, you know?
Well, sometimes it works.
Even after he killed it, it landed on him.
Spoiler.
And now a little something-something. And by the way, if you like the quantity over quality for jokes, this is your day.
Oh, good. I like this.
A 26-year-old guy named Albert Nidreau from Yorkshire, England, spent the past 2 weeks planning an elaborate proposal for his girlfriend, Vararija Medovic. And his plan included putting more than 60 balloons and 100 candles around the living room in their apartment. So he lit all the candles, then went out to get Valeria and bring her home to propose. But when they got there, the apartment was on fire. And the fire department was rushing over to put it out. No one was hurt, but the apartment was completely destroyed. We shouldn't laugh.
This
at
is
other
not
people's
funny.
Misfortune.
No.
But really, 100 candles, you got to be careful. Candles are, look,
too
if
much.
You know somebody lights candle, warn them, all right?
One they can, is yes, too carry. Much.
Right. On the bright side, Vararija still said yes.
Nice.
Which is a happy ending to that story. One qualifier, as long as he stays away from his old flames. They after this happened, they didn't have a place to live, so they went to a friend's house to watch a movie.
What movie?
John Wick. There is no doubt they're a perfect match. I'm sorry. That's it. I'm out of here. Thank you very much.
I like the John Wick.
I didn't like the Wick, too,
The last one was weak. I'm sorry. I only do the best I can. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show as you listen to the song stylings of Yet.
I would say it's your features tomorrow.
I love this.
Thank you. It's a nice reminder. I would say once this weekend. Maybe 20.
Three times.
Four. I would say
what would he say? Find out every Friday. It's Oscar's Take on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Patron Society. We don't like to ask, but we will ask because it helps the show, and we want to keep the show chugging along. The TMOS Patron Society, we need you to go to MikeO'MaraShow.com, click on the Patron Society banner and make a pledge. $1, $5, $10 a week or any amount, even a $1 donation, it doesn't matter. Up to you. Everything helps. Even if it seems insignificant, you can really make a difference. If you're there for us, we'll be here for you. And if you can contribute, please do. We'd appreciate that. Your support means the world to us. Now more than ever, we appreciate you and we thank you. Let's open up the audio ball quickie today. Ran late with Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Thought of you. The ice maker in the refrigerator you had trouble with in Florida, it was a stainless steel French door, right? Split down the middle?
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is a Samsung that was trending on YouTube yesterday. A lady came downstairs and for no reason, her refrigerator was just dispensing ice. There was ice cubes all over the kitchen floor. And I heard this sound. I said, this is almost intoxicating.
Those little crescent-shaped, impossible to handle with your hand.
And instead of going over to try to stop it, she's videotaping it as her floor fills with ice. So anyway.
Is it a Samsung? Can you see?
It looks to be a Samsung. She can get close enough. But I know it's a similar make and model to what you had. So she's got the opposite problem. She got too much ice. You had none ice.
Sounds like a hailstorm.
Yeah, I know.
None ice. Yeah.
So we were talking about what you do when you drink whiskey and vodka. I know that when you get drunk, you get those late night drunk munchies. And it's always nice when you have friends that support you. This is a gentleman who went over and grabbed to take a bite of a pear and took a second bite of the pear, and he didn't like it because his friend then told him, that's not a pear, that's a potato.
This tastes bad. Ew. This is not a pear.
It's a potato.
It's not a pear. It's a potato.
Funny. I would do
that.
And
you know what? I think a pear is sort of an overlooked fruit.
I love pears.
I do too. You don't see a lot of them. So anyway.
Doesn't he sound, play it again, doesn't he sound like Hasselhoff?
A little bit, yeah. When Hasselhoff, yep.
This tastes bad. Ew. This is not a pear.
It's a potato.
I love her reaction. That's sweet.
I want to offer some good news. As we said, you know, we're all dealing with bits of light depression. So the president says things are going to be okay.
The country's in very good shape, and we're set to rock and roll. This thing's going away. It will go away like things go away.
It's coming down, and pretty substantially in many locations. It'll go away like things go away. Absolutely. It's no question in my mind. It will go away. Please, go ahead. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Bad enough that you say it will go away like things go away, but he said it twice in the same day. So obviously that's something that's going through his thought process.
It'll go away like my ex-wives went away.
Like things go away. This is the worst pear I've ever eaten. It tastes crunchy. Like potato. Crunchy. That's what he would say.
This tastes bad. Ew. This isn't a pear.
It's a potato.
He says, this isn't a pear. Let's close with this. The biggest wireless provider in Australia is anybody? Anybody?
T-Mobile.
Telstra.
Oh, right.
It's an Australian company. And there's a rumor on the internet that the 5G process, the 5G technology, is spreading the COVID virus. Ugh. They actually filmed a commercial and are airing this in Australia.
5G is spreading coronavirus. Is a theory you might have heard on the dark web, or as it's currently called, Facebook. Firstly, radio waves cannot spread viruses. If they could, someone would have weaponized Smooth FM years ago. Furthermore, from an electromagnetic energy perspective, 5G is in the same range as 3G and 4G. Just ask Telstra's 5G EME expert, Mike Wood.
That's right, Mark. Viruses cannot travel on radio waves
or mobile networks. 5G and other telecommunication radio frequencies do not affect the immune system.
If COVID-19 was spread by 5G, wow, then why do so many cities and countries yet to have 5G have the virus? Perhaps something else is spreading the virus, like the fact that it's a virus.
Yes, we get it, Australia. We get it. I think you made your point. For the love of God,
I love the fact. Maybe it's spreading for another reason, because it's a virus. That's your magic audio vault. Don't fear your cell phones, everybody. It's okay.
Hey, don't forget to check out All the Best with George and Barbara, the George and Barbara Bush Foundation, and a wonderful podcast hosted by Sam LeBlanc. You get a real perspective on that Kuwait invasion, and it's great for history buffs. I think you should check it out. That's so wonderful. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll see you next time for a brand new episode. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
This tastes bad. Ew. This is a pear.
It's a potato.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now get home safely. Good night.
It's been a good day. My God, what a good day for mankind.
Good night, Jerry. Good night, Newman.
Bye-bye.